Okay, Psalm 56. It's a prayer of trust in God accompanied by a request for God's protective justice against human cruelty and violence. Pretty straightforward psalm. Be gracious to me, O God. Now, you don't have to know this, but I'll tell you. When I'm translating the Hebrew text for you, and with help, of course, but when I'm doing it, my aim is to keep using the same English word for the same Hebrew word. That's not a good way to translate if you want to be readable, but there are advantages in it. You know, there'd be other psalms, they'll have mercy on me, O God, you see. But the problem with the word mercy is that it's a direct translation of the Greek eleos, like kyrie eleison, eleison. Now, eleos in Greek is commonly used, regularly used, to translate three quite different Hebrew words. Hanan, we've done before, which is this one. Hanan means graciousness, different ways in which we grace each other, or in different ways in which God shows his providential care for us. It's a practical, memorable, experiential reality. Eleos. It also translates chesed, which is a more, identifying, fundamental quality that God has of love, kindness, steadfast love, sometimes covenant love is another. And it also translates rahamim, which is God's passionate, emotional, motherly care. Rechem means the womb. So, since it's got all those varieties, I am not keen on translating have mercy on me, because mercy tends to get locked in a bit too quickly in English, and that's enough to say. So, if you see be gracious to me, it means that it's hanan. And that involves mercy, it involves a lot of stuff. They are crushing me. With no respite, they attack me and trample me down. And the word they in the Hebrew there, I'm only telling you this because I know it, is enosh. Enosh is, a poetic form of Adam. So they just means people in general, really. Human beings, enosh. But it's more, tends to be more a poetic word. My enemies are pursuing me. With no respite, a host of them bear down upon me. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. And then comes the refrain. Thanks be to God. I praise God and his promise. I trust in God and I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? Flesh is Hebrew basar. There it is there in the Hebrew and English. And basar means flesh, as distinct from bone or blood or whatever else. You know what flesh is, so that's what it means. But it's used to it's one of the words used to describe a human being. And basar, flesh, not in Paul it'll have another nuance, New Testament, but just in the Bible, flesh just means me as weak, I'm going to die, vulnerable, you know, human. Yeah, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes, that's flesh. Paul tends to use it as me as opposite to spirit, not open to grace. So he gives it a bit of negative turn. Here it's not negative, it's just, what can human beings do to me, for God's sake? Now, there's other texts which keep using the word. I'll just read them for your reflection. Isaiah 51, I, says God, I am he who comforts you. Why are you afraid of a mere mortal who must die, a human being who fades like grass? Not the same vocabulary, but the same concept. And it's a good question. Why are we? And the martyrs would say to us, why are you? And I say, because I am. You know, it's real. But if, you know, we'd like, yeah. And they wouldn't be saying it either if they weren't. The Egyptians are human, says Isaiah. They're not God. They're horses of flesh, not spirit. It's all very well, but if a horse is tearing down upon you and you've got an Egyptian with a spear coming at you, you're probably a bit scared. And so they go on. I don't think we're... Psalm 78. He remembered, this is God, he remembered they were but flesh, human beings, so God's a bit compassionate. A wind that passes and doesn't come again. So if you're locked into sin, and you might well be, and I might well be, God says, look, take it easy, mate. You're only a blimmin'. I mean, you know, don't be too hard on yourself. It doesn't mean don't stay sinning, but it means, what do you expect? And God looks down and says, oh, God, I made him out of dust. I shouldn't have too high expectations. So, you know, well, he knows we're just flesh. We're just like a wind breathe that's gone. So God is compassionate to us and doesn't treat us as though we should be perfectionists. Which, you know what I mean by that. It doesn't mean we don't care about sin, but it means we don't be too locked in either. Verse 5, with no respite they discredit my words. Their only thought is to harm me. They band together in ambush. They track me down and seek my life. Repay them for their crimes. In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You've kept count of my wanderings. You've stored my tears in your goat skin. That's exactly what they used to store water in. And then, are they not in your record? Well, I don't know, but the scholars tell me that's a gloss, that little bit. You might have forgotten. If you weren't here, you mightn't even know what a gloss is. A gloss is the word used if, for example, I had a text of scripture and you were all in a scriptorium, you're the scribes, and I read out the text and you're writing it down, okay? And then eventually, and then I go around to make sure it's accurate because it means a lot to us. And I come to yours, Reno, and you've left a line out just because, you know, it was going too fast and you didn't hear it or you got distracted. I'd say to you, no, no, and I'd, you, in the side, you would put in, just as we go like that, you know, you'd put in the side, are they not in your record? Because you'd forgotten to write it. So that's at the side. Then someone else finds your text later on and they put it in because they realise it should have been there. However, Tom there can't resist writing his private thoughts on everything. So Tom is going through the psalm writing it, and it's his own little copy, and he writes on the side, are they not in your record? You know, his own thoughts, his own meditation on the text, you get it? And it's in the side, it's his copy. And I get Tom's copy, and I think, oh, that must have been put in by the master scriptor. So I put it into the text. But it actually doesn't fit the rhythm, it doesn't fit the assonance. If you put 14 lines in a sonnet, well, you could be accurate. If you got 15, well, someone's made a blunder somewhere. There's a line too many. So from that argument, the scholars suggest, are they not in your record? While it is in the Masoretic text, it's in there by mistake, because the text that they built it on was actually introducing a gloss. The gloss is a private comment that has come into the text. My enemies will have to retreat when I call on you. This I know. I know this, that God is for me. He's very confident in that, and it's lovely. And then the same refrain, but with an interesting addition. Thanks be to God. I praise God and his promise. We had that a few verses ago. And then he adds, thanks be to Yahweh. I praise him for his promise. Now, what are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with a northern text that seems to word the word God, and it's come into the temple, because we're dealing with the temple hymn book, and have they then introduced Yahweh? Not introduced, but explained. Yahweh. And they put it in. I don't know, but it's likely. I trust in God. I'm not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? This time it doesn't use the word flesh. In fact, I've forgotten what the Hebrew is, but it's a mere mortal. Probably Adam or Ben Adam. I have made my vows to you. I will carry them out, O God, as I offer you thanks. You've delivered my soul from death. As I explained to someone I've done with you, all of you before, there's no word soul in Hebrew. My nephesh, my soul, What have you delivered? You've delivered me from death. That would be a good enough translation, but it's more than me. It's me as a longing, desiring, thinking, loving, yearning, creative. And as I said once, I can't get beyond Henri Bergson's Elan Vital. You know that? Or the Eros in the Greek. That driving force that won't be held back. You've delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk in the presence of God and enjoy the light of the living.